Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ki Tavo. The schedule for the continuing education classes from Pardes are now available. You can view the entire schedule at www.pardes.org.il/CE for community education. Some of the highlights to mention is the Elul program, which starts this coming Monday, September 10th. Then on Motzei Shabbat Shuvah in the evening, starting at 9 p.m., there are community events starting at 9 p.m. with the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha by Rabbi Daniel Landes. But where is the love, the passionate tshuva? That's at 9 p.m. on September 22nd at Pardes in Jerusalem. It'll be followed by a musical tish that will be going on late. Sounds very good. Also, Tour with Text for this coming year starts on October 18th with a discussion classes on the life and times of the Mishnah. There'll be classes October 18th, 25th, and November 1st, followed by a half-day tour of Yavna and the Museum of Babylonian Jewry on November 8th. Similarly, Between Israel and the Nations, a discussion on Tractate Avodah Zarah with classes in late November and then a full-day tour on December 6th, and so on in late December, January, and also in February. Again, all the details are at www.pardes.org.il/CE, which stands for Community Education. This week, Rabbi David Levenkruz is discussing Ki Tavo. Rabbi David Levenkruz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Director of Special Programs for Pardes. There is a handout for this podcast, which I'm sending as the next episode through the podcast system, so if you can, print it out and follow along with Rabbi David Levenkruz.
Thank you, Larry. Those of you who know me and have listened to some of my podcasts, or perhaps I've had the pleasure of teaching you in person or learning from you in person, will know that one of the things that really interests me is the whole issue of identity, Jewish identity, but also identity in general. To what extent do we choose our identities? How do we meld the past and the future? Is identity something that is placed upon us that we have no choice of, or are we able to bring our own voice in it? How does identity change? What does it mean to say I'm Jewish, or I'm Israeli, or I'm South African, or I'm American? And how do these identities meld with each other? In this week's parasha in Ki Tavo, we have a magnificent example that we can use trying to understand how the Bible and later commentators look at this issue, which is a very, very important one for those of us who live in a modern or even postmodern world. In Devarim 26, verses 1 to 4, we read that when we come to the land that God has given us, the parasha opens with this, Ki Tavo el Haaretz, we should take the first of every fruit that we have. We take our bikurim, we take our first fruits in the land that God is giving you, Asher Adonai Elohecha Noten Lach, that God has given you, a land that has been assigned to you. You put it in the basket, and you then take it, Va'alachta El HaMakom, Asher Yivchar Adonai Elohecha. You shall go to the site that God has chosen for you. So it's the land God has given you, the site that God will choose you, L'shaken Shmo Sham, because God has chosen that God's name will be there. Then you go to the priest, Uvata El HaKohen, you go to the priest, Asher Yiyeh B'yamim HaHem, that will be in those days. The translation I gave you says officiating at the time, and that is following the Abarbanel's commentary, who says that we've got to go to the Kohen whose shift it is. The Ramban Nachmanides says, it's telling us you don't have a choice. You can't say, oh, I like that Kohen, or that Kohen is my friend. You need to go to whatever Kohen is there. Again, so far, extremely prescriptive. We've got to go to the Kohen. And not only does it, which is of course an inherited title, something that one gets from one's father, not only does one have to go to the Kohen, but also it has to be the one who's there at the time. But perhaps the most radical of the lot, the most radical of the lot is what you say. Ve'amarta elav, and you shall say to him, Higarati hayom ladonai Elohecha. Today I am saying to God, your Lord, not my God, not the God that I have some type of a personal relationship with. No. I am speaking to the priest and saying to the priest, your God. I am refracting, I am defining God, not by what God means to me, not according to my relationship or my understanding or my learning, but rather I'm giving the priests the power to define what God is. And this is common in ancient and some modern religions as well, where the power of interpretation, the power of explication, the power of understanding is all not only in the hands of the ministers, rabbis, shall we say, but in the hands of a priesthood which is inherited. And that certainly seems to be what's happening over here. We're going to the place that God chose. We're going in the land that God chose, to the man that God chose, who has the ability to define God in the way that he chooses. And immediately, this brings up the question, whose Judaism? My Judaism or the priest's Judaism? Fascinatingly, the Septuagint, the Targum Shivim, the translation of the Bible into Greek, says, today I'm affirming to God my Lord. Whether this is a variant reading or an earlier reading or a later reading, or that the translators of the Septuagint just couldn't stomach the idea of it being God, your Lord, I don't know. But it's really, really fascinating that you have this textual difference over there. I'll leave that to the Bible and the Hebrew scholars to give what the reason is. And please do write in if you have something interesting to say on this point. But what this translation certainly does is highlight to us the prescriptive nature of what the ceremony means. We're now going to try and unpack what this might mean and, of course, look for other voices in the tradition. But I do want to just, before we start, I want to say that although this is all in the text, none of it is made up, none of it is exaggerated, in Hebrew, it does sound less strange. If I say, your God in modern Hebrew, L'Elohim Shelcha, it might just be a way of deference, a way of speaking respectfully, a way of not being completely direct. So I think it's important to realize that while this might be a problem for people of a more individualistic nature, in Hebrew it's somehow less of an issue. But let's move on and try and understand what the role of the priest is. The Sforno says, the Sforno is Ovadia ben Yaakov Sforno, an Italian rabbi, biblical scholar, philosopher and physician, born in Cesena round about 1475 and died in 1550. He says, it is proper to speak to the priest with reverence, since when you bring the first fruits to him, it is though you are offering a gift to God, the exalted one who is the owner of the land. The priest is God's representative on earth, and it makes a lot of sense that this priest will be inherited. It's something that just is. The priest has a special relationship to God and acts as a surrogate to God. And for Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, German Orthodox rabbi of the 1800s, founder of Neo-Orthodoxy, this fits in. He writes, my field and farmland are upon the soil of your God. They are mine solely by virtue of the fact that I am a son of his covenant, and it is in witness of this fact that I have brought these fruits here. The land totally belongs to God. I am just using it because I happen to have been given it because I'm the son of God's covenant, but really it belongs to God, and therefore I'm going to bring it to you. Just a side point, but I think a very important side point, is this is speaking about what it means to be a nation, what it means to be a people. This is what the whole piece is. that we're studying, you know, we rush for the problematics, but I think it's speaking about, this is where I define what it means to be a nation, and I find it absolutely fascinating that we define ourselves as a nation in the moment that we're giving. I think that there's something very, very powerful. Today we're focusing on the issues of malleability of tradition, of how much choice we have, but just as an aside, but as a very, very important aside, I think it's fascinating that when we become a nation, it's in a moment that we give. The Sforno said that the priest is a representative of God. Hirsch said the land really belongs to God. From this it follows on very, very logically what Bikurim, what the Mishnah says in Bikurim. Hager mevi ve'eno koreh, the convert brings the first fruits, but does not read the affirmation. Why? She'enu yachol lomar, asher nishba Adonai la'avoteinu latet lanu, since he cannot say the land that God swore to our fathers to give us. The Mishnah is interested in historical truth, and I cannot just say, if I'm a convert, that it was my father's. I would be guilty of speaking mistruth, untruth, lying in the presence of God. And this all makes sense with everything we've read up until now, where Judaism, Jewish identity, Israelitish identity, is seen as based upon the past and based upon what the priest says it is, and based on history. It is something that is given. It is essentialist, if you want to use the language of philosophy. It's essentialist. It's part of the very being of who one is. However, the next two quotes bring in a different idea. In Breishit, when we're reading the story of Avraham, God says, no longer shall you be called Avram, v'lo yikare od et shimcha Avram, v'aya shimcha Avraham, your name shall become Abraham. Ki av hamon goyim natatiha, Abraham becomes a father of the horde of nations. Abraham is the first convert. Abraham is the first one, the first Jew, and also the first proselyte. He is the first one to choose to become Jewish. And the Yerushalmi in Bikurim says, we learn in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that a convert brings the first fruit himself and reads the affirmation. What is the reason? And they quote the pasuk we've just read. Previously you were father to a person. From now on you are father of all the nations. And we read that this is the law. All converts are descendants of Abraham. Abraham was the first convert. Therefore, converts are able to say it. Now, it's still fairly defined what it means to be Jewish. I'm not pretending this is some postmodern choosing of what Judaism means. But what we have brought in over here is an idea, a new idea, that identity is a matter of choice. Abraham chose to become or to host this people. Other people can choose to come in. So we see a certain amount of malleability. Now let's look to the issue of the value of the here and now. We spoke earlier when we went through about the idea that you have to speak to the priest who is on duty at that time. We have a similar mitzvah, actually, in Devarim, chapter 17, Yud Zayin, where it says, Ubata el ha-kohanim ha-leviim ve'el ha-shofet asher yeh b'yamim ahem. You should go to the Levitical priest or the magistrate of the time, that is in those time, v'darashtu ve'gidu lecha, and he'll give you a legal decision at Devar HaMishpat. Rosh Hashanah, the Talmudic tractate of Rosh Hashanah, asks, can we then imagine that a man should go to a judge who is not in his days? Why did they say a judge in the days? It seems totally not only superfluous, but ridiculous. What am I going to do? I'm going to conjure up, Saul did with the witch of Ein Dor. I'm going to conjure up my rabbi who's dead. This shows you must be content to go to the judge who is in your days. It also says, say not, how was it that the former days were better than these? Often in Judaism and in life, we often have the sense of nostalgia. Often for a time which, in my humble opinion, never existed. We know that we have this sometimes with Eastern Europe, where everybody was pious, when everybody was good, and everybody's sang, you know, songs from Fiddler on the Roof all day. Even in the Fiddler on the Roof is more subtle than this. And the same thing with the temple. But we know from the Torah, from the Tanakh, and from Gemara, that these were not perfect times. Says Rosh Hashanah, and don't say the past was so great and so wonderful. And also, there's a certain validity to the judges who are in your own times. There's something about the people who are living here and now that brings a tremendous amount of value. So what starts off sounding very prescriptive, we see has an openness to identity being something which is fungible, and we see that there's a value to what is now and not only to what was. Perhaps this point is emphasized most dramatically when later on in the parasha, when we don't read the preamble, which is what we've been looking at today, but actually what was said. It starts off by saying, Arami Oved Avi, my ancestor was a homeless Aramean, my father was a homeless Aramean. This is probably very well known to us from the Pesach Seder. And later, in the same statement, it says, V'ata hine heveti et reshit pri ha'adama asher natata li Adonai. I'm now bringing the first fruit of the land that God has given me. It becomes personal. If we compare these two, it's very, very fascinating. The first one speaks about the past, who my ancestor was. The second one speaks about my here and now. I'm bringing you the fruit. The first one is national. This is who my ancestor was. The second one is personal. The first one is fixed. I can't change history. The second one is malleable. It's the fruit of the land that God has given me. It may be different fruits. It may be different farmland, depending on my personality and the land and my skills. What I'm not trying to say is that everything goes and everything is Jewish identity. I think there are parameters. I think the parameters are sometimes hard to define. I think the Torah has its parameters. So I'm not saying everything goes. On the other hand, I think that what these different psukim and these different passages are saying is that tradition is not something fixed. We have the power to interpret it. We have the power to have our voices heard. Even history is not an absolute, but is refracted and seen in different ways. And the judge who is in our days is entrusted in doing it. As we go on our journeys, many of us, of defining our identities, of defining what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be male or female, what it means to be a citizen of the country we're in, whatever else we might use to define our identity, I think it's very, very important to remember, in the ironic way that happens so much when one is interested in Judaism, that in one way, it sometimes appears that the Torah is giving us a very strict, unidirectional answer. On the other hand, the system itself shows that searching and seeking to define the answer to this question is part of what tradition is about. So in an ironic way, when we question, when we ask, when we redefine, although we might seem that we are moving against tradition, we are in fact doing exactly what the tradition has always done. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.